Welcome online. Thanks you guys for showing up. Thanks for being here. Again, as has been said, we are so blessed to be able to be together. Again, whether that's online, in person, or as Paul says, if I can't be with you in person, I'll be with you in spirit. And so I know that some people are that way. I do say this, in spirit doesn't count when it comes to your job. Like, look, I'll be there in spirit. Or if you tell your boss, right, look, it's not going to be quantity hours, it'll be quality. I'm going to give you 8 of the best hours of my, maybe the best hours of my week. And you're, but you work for 40. And so I want to say to you, don't just kind of mail it in today. I'm about to give you a message that actually I really borrow heavily from a pastor who is in New Delhi, and he's bringing it, anointed. I told you a little bit about him. His name is Akshay Rajkumar, and his daddy was an evangelist, and he wasn't sure he wanted all of that. He wanted to make money, and God had much better plans for him and for us, because I get to borrow from him. If you're giving to this church, now is a good time to do it. Online, if you want to do that, we have all kinds of ways that you can do that. There's a box in the back of the room. The reason why I bring that up is because not only do I get asked about it often, but my son-in-law works for an organization that can sell protection plans, and he encourages his employees to tell people about the protection plans. Not like you don't buy it for you, and I'm not making you give, and I'm not saying if you give, then God's going to bless you in all these different ways. But he's saying that he gets asked all the time from people when their product either breaks down or something bad happens to it, why didn't you tell me about the protection plan? And I started to think about that. It's like we get to tell the truth to people. We get to invite people to be a part of something so much better and so much greater than what this world has to offer, including financially, right? And yet often, especially as pastors, we're really careful because we just want to not say too much about money. We want to not say too much about things. Or we say way too much about money and way too much about things. I just want to tell you straight up, you having a chance to give of your life, including your financial treasures or your possessions, is a gift from God. It's a great opportunity. If you don't want that, you don't have to. Look, I found out about how you and I get choices. On Friday, I was running late to a doctor's appointment for my mom. And I was coming from an appointment for myself and my daughter. And my daughter's in the car, and she's about to be a driver. She's really close, and that scares me. Pray for us. But we're driving, and I'm going well over the speed limit. And the deputy let me know that I was going well over the speed limit. And I pulled out one of these moves, right? I just, in front of my daughter, I rolled down my window, and it was hailing, and I just said, hey, you know what? Today's kind of a tough day. I'm heading to find out some information with my mom, and I'm late to a meeting. I said, could you give me grace, please? He goes, you're going so many miles over the speed limit. I'm like, and you're doing your job, and I get it. Can I have grace? He goes, license, registration, insurance. And I earned it. And he gave that ticket to me. And I earned it. I deserved it. I wanted to know his name and wanted to let all my friends that work with him, you know, tell him what a massively important opportunity he just missed. And then I had to tell my bride, who's watching online and going, why is he wearing that cardigan? And then why did he tell that story? All of it is for this. I was given grace when I got pulled over. It was hailing. Anything bad could have happened. And he slowed me down. And he helped me to realize that what I had going on in my mind needed to be checked. I was worried, and frankly, you and I are going to have a chance today, later on this evening, tomorrow, whatever your day happens to think bigger or to think small. Like, this is all I can see and it's terrible. Or it's all I can see and it's the best ever. Don't take it away from me. Well, I want to encourage you to think bigger. And again, I'm going to go straight to Philippians 3:17. Though we're going to read all of Philippians 3, 3:17 says this. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me. Don't imitate speeding, please, by me or anybody else, especially if you're working your way into getting a license. I know that there's at least one back in that corner that's got that opportunity coming. But join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I'm blessed to have a brain that works pretty well. I had COVID, and since then I've had what they call COVID brain, or honestly, I'm 50, so whatever. My brain kind of loses sight, but what I'm not losing sight of is that there are people in this world that love Jesus and love him well and are super courageous, are super compassionate, super kind, super faithful. Follow those examples. I'm following the example of our brother Akshay Rajkumar. And that's a ton of this message comes from what he said on Right Now Media. And so I thought, man, there's nothing that I have that's better than this. So I'm imitating him. I'm encouraging you to imitate him as he imitates Jesus and Paul and all the people that have gone before us. And please be people that are worthy of imitating. So keeping your eyes on the prize we're going to look at today. Look, when I was growing up, I had a lot of influence in my life. One of the greatest influences was Nina Smith. She's a woman who loved us and cared for us. She was our nanny, our babysitter, like a second mom, like the big sister I never had, and sometimes didn't even want. But I remember one time, I was super concerned about the injustice of how much my brother had gotten compared to how little I had gotten. And she said, baby, keep your eyes on your own fries. I was like, what? And then it dawned on me, like, look, stay in front. What you got right here is what you get to deal with. Don't worry about all these other things. So today I want to tell you, keep your eyes on the prize. And in case you're not sure what the prize is, he's not a what, he's a who. His name is Jesus. And I know that we hear that, and you go to church and you sing that, and I get all amped up and say, Jesus, Jesus. And for like five of you, you're like, yeah, amen. And the other ones are like, come on, bro. Really? Give me some ways. Here you go. I memorized this in the NIV, so I'm going to give you the NIV and the ESV. It's Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. From it flow the springs of life. Above all else, guard your heart. You know, we got a heart issue. Many of us think it's a knowledge issue. It's an intelligence issue. It's a financial issue. We have a heart issue. Jesus actually came at that hardcore, if you will, before we even get into Philippians. And some of you are like, oh man, there goes the neighborhood. That boy's got a whole chapter to read and we're going somewhere else? Believe that. All right. Matthew 6:21, we are going to all kinds of places today. Matthew 6:21, Jesus in his faithfulness, as Pastor John told us, to lay down his life, called us to do the same. After saying, don't lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, or excuse me, treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy it, and where thieves can break in and steal. After saying that, he says for us, to lay up treasures in heaven, honoring God, believing God, working for the Lord, because nobody can break in and steal that. And then he says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pastor Akshay Rajkumar says this, we think that right living leads to right behavior and healthy living. Our problem isn't that we don't know what to do. It's that we don't do it. The reason why is that we don't do what we believe or know. We do what we love. And again, because Jesus is better than Pastor Akshay or myself or any other teacher that you could ever hear, although we're blessed to be able to take everything Jesus said and make it known as much as possible. Jesus said it like this in Luke 10, 27 through 28. I want to ask you to not get bored with this. I will say these words, if not every Sunday, just about every Sunday. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Jesus is saying, don't just know what's right. Do it. And you can't do it if you don't want it. You might be able to fake it till you make it for a minute, right? But our hearts, God knows, and he gives us so many opportunities. We're going to talk about U-turns. But I'm going to say this to you, friends, this morning. Please hear this very clearly. The battle isn't for your brain only. It's actually for our hearts. What do you want? What do you love? If you're not sure what that means, here's a hint. It's what you live for is what you love. That's what you live for. Now we'll go to Philippians. And we'll probably bounce around to some other things too. Philippians 3, 1 through 6. Please join me there. I love this. It's the third chapter out of four. And our man says, finally. And then he's got a whole nother chapter, two chapters after he says, finally. Does that sound or feel familiar at all to any of you? For my eighth conclusion, right? Well, he's like, look, I'm changing topics now. Kind of. I told you that there's these themes that run through. Humility, joy, rejoicing. Giving of your life, being not of this world, but of the citizenship of heaven. And those are all important and all going to be repeated over and over again. But he says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever the governor says today, can you rejoice in the Lord? Do you have anything to rejoice in? Some of us are wondering. And that's legit. But you need to give it over. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it's safe for you. Like, I'm going to repeat myself because it's good for you. You and I repeat things over and over again. Oftentimes, we repeat things that we're really hanging on to. Do you know how many times I've told the story of getting a ticket? Kathy's like, please, please stop. He's like, it's not a problem for me to tell you this over and over again. Rejoice in the Lord. As a matter of fact, we're going to get hit up with that again next week. Now he gives a warning. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Like, look out for people who are a mess. He might even be saying, look out for people like yourself that are a mess. But he's saying to these people, look out for the people that try to make you earn your salvation, your righteousness, your goodness. Look out for evildoers. Look out for people who would say, if you want to follow God, Jesus is really, really good, but you also need to do this, this, and that. And in this case, they're talking about circumcision, which is very personal. If you don't know what that means, you could talk. Like, there's, anyway. Would you, Ashton, would you be willing to explain circumcision to, okay, all right. You're welcome. And then we never saw Ashton again. It was weird. Verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. This is who the circumcision is. These are who are set apart for God, those who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. He's like, we don't put confidence in the flesh, but boy, I got some reasons. Like my body, what I've done, all my abilities, all of my skills, all of my accomplishments, and then he lists some of them. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. You got people that came from Israel to tell these people in Philippi that they were wrong. You ain't doing it right. You need to do this, this, and that. And he's like, oh man, those people, they can't even hold a candle to what I've done. Let me just break it down for you real quick. I'm circumcised on the eighth day. I didn't play around with any of the law, even when I couldn't follow it. My family followed it for me. I'm of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. I mean, these homies would actually go out in their garden and take a tenth of their herbs and spices. They followed the law like that. As to zeal, I persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. I did it all, friends. I was able to take care of all of it. At this point, I want to ask you to consider, friends, what is it that you put your trust in? You might know the commercial, what's in your wallet? What's in your heart? What do you have confidence in? Where is your love placed? He's naming all these things for all these Judaizers, these guys that are saying you got to follow the law and you do all this stuff, and then Jesus will look at you and smile on you because you actually are doing what he did. He's saying, look, I did all of that. I was so good at doing it that I actually killed Christians. I'm going to ask you, friends, do you put your confidence in money? Do you put your confidence in sex? Do you put your confidence in accomplishment? Do you put your confidence in church attendance? Boy, you want to know what I did? I attended during the pandemic. I even RSVP'd. Wore a mask, and I hate it. My breath is bad. I even dealt with my breath. I've accomplished so much. What do you put your confidence in? Well, I was born into a family that was a train wreck, and I'm not a train wreck. You've heard the black sheep of the family? Well, I'm the white sheep of the family. I'm pretty good. What do you put your confidence in? Paul's like, I got all kinds of things I could put my confidence in, with my own self and my own body and my own religion. All that was passed down to us by Yahweh, I basically was perfect with it. Blameless. But, verse 7, yes, at this moment, I will say it again, it's tired and you're sad hearing me say this again. We will do a series one day, Big Butts of the Bible. This is one. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever I was able to do, I counted as loss for the sake of Jesus. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Please go back into the book of Acts and read Paul's story. He was seriously zealous, and he was a card-carrying Christian killer, incarcerator, all those things. And Jesus popped in and said, no, man, that ain't it. This is not it. Who are you? You're persecuting me, and I'm Jesus. Stop. He goes, look, now knowing Jesus is the big deal of my life. My confidence, my joy, my hope is in him. Nothing can take him off the throne, and nothing can snatch me out of his hand. This is good news. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now you're like, wait, can he earn it? No, listen, let him unpack it. I count all these things loss. I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. When you're emptied of yourself, you can be filled up with somebody or something else. Dear friends, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear online community, what are you filled up with? What are you emptying yourself for? Look, I'll follow God. I'll do all the right things. And I'll count it all as loss just so he'll give me him. He'll give you himself. Yeah, I already got him. Can I also get a job? Can I get a girl? Can I have a better car? That preaching's super popular. And it's really limited. Listen to the rest. I do this in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And if you remember, in Ephesians, we find out that that faith is also a gift from God. So the righteousness, the grace, the faith, it's all him. Gosh, you're going to say that it's up to God for me to be able to be loved and accepted. Amen. He chose us. Good word. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What do you want more than anything else in your life? Today's the day that I'll encourage you, if you want health, you want the coronavirus gone, you want to get back to school, you want to get back to work, you want to get back to normal more than you want Jesus, you're missing out. You're missing out. All those things can be really, really good. But what about Jesus? He's like, look, by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. One more quote from Pastor Akshay. What you want is what you love. And what you love is what you really worship. One more time. What you want is what you love. And what you love is what you really worship. Do you want something that won't last? You got to check yourself. And it's good. God allows us to do that. Watch, he says all this stuff like, look, I suffer and all that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. You can receive it. He can't earn it. And so he says, not that I've already obtained this or that I'm already perfect. He called himself blameless before when it came to the law, and yet he really wasn't. But nobody could really accuse him of being anything but a rule keeper. He's like, but I'm not perfect. But I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And you just said that God chose us. You believe that? We get asked in this big group of churches that we're a part of, how many people have made decisions for Christ? I get it. I understand it. And I do believe that you and I have to make choices. But we've been chosen first. We've been picked. We've been loved. We've been paid for. Not because we're so great, but because he is. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, so if you don't know what that means, one thing I do consider, one thing I do understand, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love this. Let those of us who are mature think this way. You got it wrapped up. You understand it? Think this way. It's about Him. It's about not worrying about all the things that are behind you. It's about moving forward to the call. You've been called to love Him and to know Him and to follow Him. Always? Yeah, always. But what do I have to give up? If it's not Jesus that you're giving up, you're going to be all right. More than all right. You'll be fulfilled. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we've attained. Hold true to the fact that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is life, Jesus is giver, Jesus is on the throne. Nobody else has to apply for that job. Nobody else has to grasp for that job. Dr. Tony Evans says it like this. Don't focus on the past. You aren't going there. Well, what about all these things that happened to me? Is Jesus with you? What about what I've been passed down? What about what I've done? What about what I've done? What about what I've done? It's not about you. Amen. It's not. It's about Him. You get to repent. Keep your eyes on the prize. Dear friends, His name is Jesus. I'm going to go to 3:17 through 19. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. What about the weird people that have the audacity to humble themselves when the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket? Imitate them if they're following Jesus. For many of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Many, many Bible scholars, and though I'm not a Bible scholar necessarily as far as all that I do with my life, but I believe this as well. He's talking about people that actually started following Jesus, and now they're walking away. Many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. This is a warning for everybody. But I'm here to tell you, if you and I don't keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, we are going to fall short. We're going to fall short even as we try to follow Him, but we're going to actually be focused on us. What we can do, what we want. Well, God's not coming through for me. I kept the rules for all these years, and it never really gave me much, so I'm going to do me. You do you, I'll do me. Hi, Eden. Thanks for settling me down a little bit. Philippians 3:20 through 21, the ending here. Another big but of the Bible. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Hoo-wee. So wait a minute, we have a representative? There's somebody who on our behalf did it all? If you're wondering about this idea, let me borrow again from Pastor Akshay and remind you of something. I'm going to put something, or we're going to put something up on the screen. Go ahead. You guys online are seeing the number 12, well, at least the word 12. We're seeing the number 12, a flag. Oh, what does that represent? Seahawks, 12th man, 12th. They can't even be in the stadium, but people still say us and we. I have a friend of mine who said, I've done extensive research, and none of you are on the roster of the Seahawks. And some of you are offended by that. And you know what? I'm going to use it as a good example. Not your offense, but this 12, the 12s. The Seahawks represent a fan base. When they won the Super Bowl, we won the Super Bowl. We didn't play 1 second on the field, and half of you in this room couldn't give two shakes of a lamb's tail about the Seahawks. But you understand something from this. Representation. They represent a group of people. Jesus represents a group of people. He did the hard work, and we won. Let's go to Romans 5, 18 through 19. Romans 5 has been on my mind so much. I read through it this week. So many great things in there. This idea that there was an Adam, not like A-D-A-M, a person, right? It made me think a lot about you, boy. I'm already praying for him, so there it was. But Adam came, and he was the first Adam, and he sinned. And everybody fell short because of him. But the second Adam, Jesus, came, and everybody who would be in him wins because of him. This is how it says in Romans 5, 18 through 19. Therefore, as one trespass, one sin, led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Many. Because of Jesus. He represents us, 12s. Pastor Akshay, one more time. As we faithfully trust Jesus, his faithful obedience and righteousness is given to us and becomes ours. That's such good news. Dear friends, think bigger. It's not about you. Confess that Jesus is Lord, forgiver, righteousness, hope, life, all of it, no matter what comes down, no matter what happens next. Jesus is Lord. He took everything on him for us, for the glory of his Father, to be sure, but to the benefit of all of us. So in an effort to help all of us think bigger and have kind of conversations that would go beyond this morning, I got some questions for you that I'd love to walk you through right now and let you think through it. My friend Jeff Umbrovich is a pastor, and he is a counselor, and he's a hardworking husband and father. And I want to ask you if you agree or disagree with what he said. Dutifully following the rules doesn't bring life. Only Jesus does, by his grace. Number two. In what or who, maybe whom, do you find that you put your trust, confidence, and love? Like I said earlier, you'll know by how you live what you put your confidence, trust, and love in, or who. And here's really good news. God allows U-turns. That's why he gave us Jesus. What, if anything, do you need to confess to Jesus for putting ahead of him? I encourage you to tell him now. Ask for his help now. Receive his help now. And please confess Jesus as Lord of your life if he is. Thank him for his grace and live it out by his power. Listen to this in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Lord, I admit, I confess not only my pride, my propensity to try and do things that make me look better or make others look worse. I admit that I often, even as your beloved, the one that you have paid for, I try to take over your job. I try to do enough to make you look at me and hear me and do what I ask you to do. I humble myself and I admit that you are God and I am not. You are perfect, and only in you will I be righteous, will I be whole. I know that's true for every human being that's ever lived and ever will live, and whoever's living right now. God, you're so good, you're so gracious, you're so kind. Would you have your way in us? Would you have your way through us? God, may we make much of who you are, because you are worthy, not just to be worshiped on Sundays, but every day, to be followed every day, to honor you. God, help us to work out the salvation you give us. Not having to work for it, but to work it out. God, help us to confess. And as Pastor Josh said this week, confession is saying what's real. God, you are awesome, you are real, and we desperately need you. And you're not ignoring us. May we not ignore you by the power of your Spirit. Enable us to be your people. Strong and courageous, and may it be contagious. In Jesus' name, amen.